Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
The whole world marks time by Christmas. You think about people that say, oh, well, yeah, Jesus, well, yeah, he was just a good man, along with Buddha and the other gods. But even in other countries, when they talk about so many years B.C., before Christ, or so many years A.D., the year of the Lord, the whole world marks time as before Christ was born. How could he just be another good man? And now we're in the year of 2019, after the year of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? So something amazing about Christmas. But what has society done with this Christmas story? As early as I can remember, I performed for love and acceptance. If I'm good enough, talented enough, beautiful enough, correct enough, I'll be loved and accepted and blessed and happy. And if not, I'll be rejected, cast aside, unworthy of love and attention, and live a lousy life. But you know what that is? It's the Santa Claus is coming to town theology. We created Santa because we couldn't handle God. The truth is we can't even handle Santa. So we sing songs like, we all know it, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice, maybe three times. He's going to find out who's naughty and who's nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. Creepy. I don't know about y'all, but if ever I wake up and Steve's right there staring in my face, like, ah! Get out of here, Santa. What are you doing in here? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. There it is. That is what the culture has created. What permeates our life, and we sing it over and over and over because we believe it. There's someone watching you, and your value is based on what you do wrong, and he's constantly writing down and what you do right. And for the future reference, he's going to bring it up again. If you're naughty, no gifts for you, only coal. And he's going to find out. Oh, yes, the omniscient, controlling legalist, he's coming to town, and you better watch out. You better fear this guy. You better stop your crying and your sniveling. You better not pout. You better put on a good face. You better act like you're somebody different than who you actually happen to be. No matter how you feel, you better put on a good show. So doggone it, just be better than who you are. For goodness sake, don't be a whiner. Fix yourself. Try harder. Do better. Don't have so many problems. Watch over your shoulder. Keep up appearances. Get better in a hurry. And if you can't act like you are, if you can't, you better act like it, because you're constantly on trial. And if you want good things to happen in your life, well, you better figure out how to please this guy. And it's genetically wired into us since the fall of man. We learn how to perform, how to do the dance. The highest value is in being accepted, and it appears that the means of being accepted on this planet is performance. And performance is hard because we fail. Everything about this goes against the truth in the Christmas message, in the Gospels. The message of Jesus has been misunderstood. The Christmas message has been misapplied. The real Christmas message is relevant and revolutionary and reassuring in a world that's full of confusion and crisis and chaos. And it can be all summed up in three events: a birth, a death, and a climax of human history, when the day of the Lord and Jesus Christ will return. First, a birth. On that first Christmas night, the angels appeared. They to the fearful shepherds appeared, and they said, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy for all people." What's the real meaning of these good tidings? A virgin baby was born. God became a human. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, right there. 100% human. 100% God. He humbled himself. He took the form of servant. He was made in our likeness. He identified himself with our problems, the problems of the whole human race. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we keeps changing on me. And we beheld, all right, you guys, who's tricking me back there? Santa Claus is going to get you. That's not in the script. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. But for us, we all fall short of the glory because we're born in sin. Go like this. Do you have a belly button? Just feel yours, not your neighbor's. If you have a belly button, you have issues. You see, we're part of the Adams family. And how many of you know the Adams family had issues? By one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. Romans says, so just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God, and results is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And it says in Hebrews, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Then he said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. He set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It is finished. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, you are accepted and holy before God because of faith, not because of your works, not because of your good deeds, but because of faith in what Christ has done. Second, there's a death. For Christmas to have meaning, it cannot be separated from the cross. The angel said at the birth of Jesus, and he will save his people from their sin. Jesus said of himself, to this end I have come. And Paul said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The central message of Jesus to me is that Jesus Christ, by his death and resurrection, can transform both individuals and society. Almost everyone at one time or another has had a sense of our moral failure and suffer some sort of guilt. All we have to do is turn on the television to see the corruption of mankind. In fact, that's why we have policemen in jails. It indicates that something is radically wrong with the human nature. Every time we board an airplane, they search our luggage. And then I'm made aware once again of this disease of human nature. Man is actually a paradox. On one hand, there's futility and sin. On the other hand, there's goodness and kindness. On one hand, there's envy and strife. On the other hand, there's empathy and love. No wonder Paul spoke of man's disease as a mystery of iniquity. The Bible teaches that the human race is morally sick, and he calls that disease sin. The only cure for sin is the blood of Jesus, and that was shed on the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Blood symbolizes a life that has been given. Christ became the lamb slain before the foundation of the world for the sins of all mankind. In the resurrection, God did for man what man could not do for himself. God is saying to a sinful man, I love you and I forgive you. John 3:17 says, for God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world will be saved and delivered. But you must humble yourself and admit that you have sinned and that you failed morally, then by faith turn to him as Lord and Savior. We must do as the publican did. He said, have mercy on me, O God, a sinner. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. Some of you may dislike this. You say, that's ridiculous. That's idiotic. The Apostle Paul said, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the natural, unbelieving man. But to those who are being saved, it's nothing less than the power of God. Our greatest need is a change of heart. That's why Jesus said, truly, truly, you must be born again. Uh-oh. Guys, I think I'm doing this myself. Sorry. Truly, truly, I say, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's why he said, unless you repent, you will perish. And Acts 17 says, now God commands all people everywhere to repent of their sin and turn to him. For he set a day of judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. John 3:16, who should repent? It says everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. The message of the gospel is repent or perish. And this is the Christmas message. And third thing, there's a wonderful climax to human history. It's the ultimate triumph of God's kingdom. And chiseled into the corner of the United Nations building, there's a quote from the Bible that has never yet been fulfilled. And it reads like this. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. This cannot be taken out of context. This is the time when there's going to be a close to history. Man will have his last Armageddon. When it seems like man's going to destroy itself, God will intervene and Christ will return. At the birth, he was born in the stall with animals. At his death, he wore the crown of thorns. But in his return, he will be the commander in chief of the armies of heaven, and he will take control of this weary war world and bring permanent peace that we're striving and longing for. A new world will be born. This is the Christian mess. This is the Christmas message and the Christian message. The angel said to the shepherds, fear not. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid, he said. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Tears will be wiped away from every eye. Disease will be no more, even death. Man's greatest enemy will be eliminated from the human race. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and war shall be no more. This is the promise of Christmas. This is our hope. This is the Christmas star that lights our evening darkness. The day is coming, my friends. Through the Isaiah the prophet, the Holy Spirit said, the Messiah, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. How many Christmases have come and gone without ever really knowing Jesus Christ, the gift and the gift of new life that it brings? This year, my prayer is that we will all repent and turn our hearts toward God and truly discover the joy, the great joy that only Jesus can bring. With every eye closed and every head bowed, would you just join me right now in prayer? If there's anyone here that knows that as we talk, Jesus said, truly, I must be born again. You do not remember a time when you got born again. Because if you get born again, you know it. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart today. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, I give you my life. And he's asked, that's why for this reason he has come. That he can put his spirit within us and lead us and guide us and show us how to love. So if that's you today, I want you just, with every head bowed, every eyes closed, I want you to just raise your hand. If today you want to say, Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this Christmas message of hope. In a lost and dying world, God, I thank you that we can be light and we can be salt because Christ in me is my hope of glory, my only hope of glory. So today, Father, as we go, we ask that you would make us more hungry to turn to you, more willing to repent quickly and get back under the shadow of the Almighty and walk in the Spirit. Father, I thank you for every person here today. Father, we thank you for your love, for your goodness, for this Christmas message. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please don't leave here without telling someone. Find me, AJ, any of these worship people, and tell it that you gave Jesus your life, and we have a gift for you as well. But you go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Merry Christmas. Thank you, everyone who worked so hard, Jenny and AJ and Troy and all the band and Rick and Chris, and just thank you, you know. We are blessed. We are blessed. You have a great year. I love you all. Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.